In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Radio show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of the women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic Book History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your ice holes.
Allowing you to fish your way through the world of comic books.
Very nicely put.
Yes, we really are a bunch of ice holes, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And it is the dead of winter.
It really is, right? Now. You know what?
An ice hole is a useful thing.
Absolutely. You know, we got a little lucky there for a while. It was nice and mild, but it is officially winter out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know what they say about ice holes, don't you, Chris?
What's that?
Everybody should have one.
No, absolutely. Because you know why? Because then you can go fishing.
Right, then you can go. All you need is a rod.
And you can go fishing away.
Through the world of comic books.
Wherever you feel like it.
Chris, yeah. I think it would be prudent.
Prudent.
To leave the subject and head over into... what our first topic is every week, which is new comics.
Well, new this week is brought to you by the Winter Blues. Cold, miserable, depressed, vitamin D deprived, head into your local comic shop today and pick up a comic. Comics are teeming with vitamin D, and they're sure to chase those winter blues away.
Wow. I didn't know that.
They are actually.
Is that a proven study?
Believe it or not, there was a study done in, I believe it was somewhere.
Helsinki?
Helsinki. That's right. Yeah. Or... maybe Johannesburg.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's close.
Reputable.
Absolutely,
yes.
Clinics.
Absolutely,
right.
Yes.
All right, good. All right, listen. Okay, so what do we have today?
So new this week, we've got number one. We often start with DC, so let's start with DC today. Mm-hmm. We've got Fables, issue number 113. This, of course, is the long-standing series by Bill Willingham and Mark Buckingham. And it's got those awesome covers.
The Ham Brothers.
The Ham Brothers. The old
Hams.
Speaking of Hams, do you remember that in the 1970s, they came out with live-action show called Hammy Hamster?
No.
Do you remember that at all?
No.
There was a show about a little hamster and a guinea pig and, like, I think there was a rat or something like that.
Right.
And you know what? It's actually on Netflix now, believe it or not. You can actually download them on Netflix.
Wow. You know what? I think I'm getting a flashback. I do remember those.
Hammy Hamster and the Tales Along the Riverbank.
Yeah, they were absolutely terrible.
And every episode ended with, but that's another story.
Right. Wow. Well.
Anyways,
apparently, Fables 113 delivers another story.
It really does.
A nice standaloner.
Yeah, so this is what's great about this. Why we decided to choose this one this week is it's a standalone issue. So, you know what? If you're not really too sure about the whole Fables thing, this is a great issue to jump on to see what it's all about because it is a standalone issue and it has some great stories about your favorite characters. So, you know what? It's just a great issue.
Fables, great, great. I mean, what we always recommend it to people, Fables Volume 1. Was one of those graphic novels that we would tell people, hey, take it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it,
just bring
it
back. Yeah, just bring it back.
And we've never got a return.
No.
We used to do that with stuff like Why the Last Man 2 or Volume 1 and stuff.
I used to do that. I remember years ago I used to do that with The Preacher as well.
Yeah.
Just take it. If you don't like it, bring it back. If you like it, come back and pay for it.
And, you know, that's like a, $14, $15 investment. This is a nice $3 investment.
Yeah.
It's even a safer bet.
That's right.
Go in. Check it out at your local comic book shop today. Fables number 113.
And you know what's really interesting about Fables is really there's I don't know if you watch a lot of TV, but there's sort of a new TV series called Once Upon a Time, and there's sort of the same ideas are kind of, you know, that and Grimm are kind of like the same thing. Like, the Grimm's another TV show that's going on right now, but there's sort of like, there's detective shows, and there's like Once Upon a Time. It's still like sort of like this weird, you know, fairy book kind of stuff happening in today's world. It's sort of the same idea. So clearly there must be something going on with that whole genre.
Yeah, that like it's a comeback or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
You know what they don't have on TV anymore, Chris? Like the one guy, the old surly detective guy that figures out
right.
stuff by himself.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like a Barnaby Jones or a Beretta.
There's probably a reason why there's no more Barnaby Jones.
Well, I don't know. Come on, he was awesome.
Well, they had that that Monk show that was sort of a detective, but he was sort of like, he wasn't a grizzled.
You need a guy on the street. Remember Beretta?
Remember, he was the best.
Who was the guy on the? He used to get the information from the pimp.
No,
the rooster.
The rooster, yeah.
Yeah, Beretta would come up to him and go, "Hey, Rooster, you got any news for me?" And Rooster would go, "Hey, babe, Rooster don't crow without no dough." And Beretta would slip him a 20, and then he'd go, "Yeah, 5 o'clock at the docks, Pier 6.
If you can't do the time, then don't do the crime.
Yeah.
Beretta.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Anyways. Yeah, so we'll have to settle for stuff like
Grimm, that's
and
right,
Once Upon
yeah.
a Time. All right. What's Marvel got for
Marvel
us?
Marvel has Moon Knight number 9. And you know what?
Number nine.
Anyways, so this is, of course, by Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev. And the only reason why I brought this issue up is that someone dies in this issue. Now, I don't want to give it away, but someone dies
in
this issue. Give it away now.
Don't give it away now.
I don't want to say who it is because I don't want there to be a spoiler. But you know what? I think Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev seem to be doing some really great stuff with this series.
Yeah.
Much like they did with Daredevil.
Oh, here's the thing.
Yeah.
So they go out and they do something good with Daredevil.
Yeah.
So it's a creative team.
Yes.
So they get all the juice now. Oh, these guys are awesome.
Right.
Okay, but was it something about Daredevil? Can they do it again?
Can they recapture the magic?
With like another character?
I don't see why not. But, you know.
I'm just asking. Maybe they both, you know, just kind of meshed with Daredevil.
Well, let's see how the sales are after the next few issues.
Well, because Moon Knight and Daredevil are kind of similar.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, so they're sort of like these loner kind of characters.
Yeah.
I mean, Moon Knight's relatively interesting. He's not overly interesting, right. I wouldn't say. Like,
what I would do is introduce the Kingpin into the story and put the Moon Knight in the Hell's Kitchen.
Okay.
And then
see what happens?
And then they can just secretly rip off some of the old stories from
Daredevil. Oh, there you go.
Story,
yeah.
Right?
And then
just change
them around a little bit. Yeah.
Half to work. Right?
There you go. Done already. Right. Yeah, perfect. I like that idea.
Yeah.
They kind of did the same thing with, because for a little while there, Danny Rand, who was Iron Fist, he was Daredevil. He sort of took Daredevil's spot for a while.
Mm.
So really, it just kind of shows you that, you know, anybody can kind of enter these characters sometimes. Yeah.
So anyway, we wish BMB and Alex Maleev the best.
Absolutely.
Moon Knight number 9 at your local comic book shop today.
And then we have Danger Girl Revolver number 1 by IDW. Now, this is interesting because this is Danger Girl used to be a comic that was published by Image, and now they're over at IDW. So
right.
this
yeah.
is now,
now for the- Danger Girl, help me out here.
Yeah.
Okay. Danger Girl.
Yes.
She's the one that Angelina Jolie played in the movie.
That would be Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider.
Right.
Danger Girl was in Tomb Raider.
No.
No?
That's Lara Croft.
Lara Croft
right.
was in Tomb Raider.
Right.
Okay, so who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Danger Girl's sort of like this like James Bond kind of character, like spy, you know, infiltrates the mafias and, you know, organizations.
Okay. Right.
And she's sort of James Bondish.
But Danger Girl, from what I remember of the Danger Girl covers, and that's probably where they're kind of all melting into one.
Probably, yeah.
There was like a heavy TNA thing
going on. Absolutely. Well, it
is. It was like in the 90s there, it was all just buxomness on the cover.
And that's basically what this is all about. Really,
it's
a lot of cheesecake, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
But it's like you know what? You know how James Bond has cheesecake in it? Well, it's like, what if James Bond was the cheesecake, right? Because there's even more cheesecake. Like, it's all just cheese and sexual innuendos and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, James Bond is cheesecake for people that like guys.
Right?
Fair enough. Don't they call that something? Don't they call it like beefcake or something like
that? Is that what
though?
That is?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. No, beefcake is like gin, isn't it?
It's not, I think it's beef eater.
Beef eater.
Which is also French fry.
Oh, French fry. Where's the beef? Oh, boy. You know, Chris, what I like about you and me today, we are sticking to the topic. We're not going off on tangents.
No tangents whatsoever.
No whatsoever. So what the heck were we talking about?
Oh, Danger Girl. Anyway, so Danger Girl, it's by the same team as Andy Hartnell, and J. Scott Campbell was one of the original guys that did it. Now, he still does the covers. He doesn't do the interior art. A guy named Chris Madden does the interior art now.
Chris Madden.
And you know what? And the special reason why I brought this up is that there's going to be a new Danger Girl added to the mix.
A new Danger Girl,
the original Danger Girl squad, it was a bunch of girls. Like, it wasn't just necessarily.
Oh, it wasn't one.
Well, there was one girl who was like the main Danger Girl, right. But then there's sort of like, you know, a bunch of them. Right. Anyway, there's going to be a new one added to the mix now.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So even more of that sexual innuendo.
Right. And you're not going to tell anybody. They'll have to go into
absolutely.
Local comic
That's
shop
right.
today.
Yes.
Check out Danger Girl Revolver number one.
Yes.
All right, Chris, what's next?
And finally, for our kids' pick of the week.
Finally.
We have Tiny Titans by Art Balthazar.
Art Balthazar.
Yeah,
good. That name sounds familiar.
Why do you gotta say that?
You know, you and Art. I know you and Art. You know Art.
I do know
and,
Art.
And I
yeah.
know you secretly. He must buy you a beer every time you mention his name. His
I bet
book.
He. You know what? I bet he doesn't even know that I mention his name. I bet. I would doubt he even listens to the show.
No, I think he listens to the show.
I don't know
Art,
about that.
Comment section in the bottom of the podcast. Let Chris know you're listening, please.
Anyways, Tiny Titans has come out, and you know what? I don't know if you've. I know you've obviously been to a comic book shop lately, but I don't know if you've seen your kids section lately, even in your store,
mm-hmm.
because it is chock-a-block full of Art Balthazar stuff.
Wow!
Like, clearly, this guy is doing very well for himself. And Tiny Titans is a great jumping on point for the kids to get to know the DC characters at a very, very young age. I think it's great stuff. I'm really happy for the guy.
All right, so that is Tiny Titans number 48 at your local comic book shop today.
That's right. So that brings us to the end of New This Week. And so we're going to have, you know what, let's just for a change up, let's have some Meet the Creeper by Rob Zombie. And we haven't played that for a while. So here you go.
Yes, Meet the Creeper. I love that song. That's a good,
that's a good
song.
One. It's a good one. We don't play it very often, but, you know, it's an oldie but a goodie now.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
All right. Well, now we've got Comic Culture Mailbag, and that is brought to you by Canceled Comics. Make fun of us all you want, but imagine how bad comics would be if we never got canceled.
Can you imagine? There'd be like DP7 still up
all
on the
over
show.
The place. Yeah, Spitfire and the Troubleshooters.
Oh, Spitfire. What else we got? We got Arrak.
Arrak, Arrak, Thunder, Orion.
Woo! Yeah. All right, yeah, good. Thank you.
I could keep going on because I got a lot of those.
Thank you, Canceled Comics.
I completely agree. All right. Well, we've got a question here for you. This one's actually directed towards you, Walt.
Good.
Shane from Winnipeg. Shane asks, Walt, I heard you have a love of romance comics and art. What's up with that?
Long story, Shane. But the gist of it is this, believe it or not, I'd want it to be something romantic and stuff like that. But I collected comic books like most pretty obsessively. You know, comic collectors are pretty obsessive, right? And they have to. And years ago, I was collecting Spider-Man, collecting Batman, collecting everything. But I was also got into the business of selling comic books.
Right.
And there were times when there was a definite conflict of interest.
Right.
So I would get a collection, and I go, oh, man, that 129 Spider-Man First Appearance Punisher, you know, I'm going to keep that one, and I'll sell the rest.
Right,
you know? Oh, look at that beautiful, you know, the best comic in here, the best two or three, you know, and then, like, man, it's like reviewing the bottom line. It's like, yeah, we spent a grand on that collection, and we've got, like, $600 out of it. What the hell's going on? And then, meanwhile, you know, my basement is full of valuable comics.
Right.
So one day, maybe 15 years ago, I decided to collect something that's worthless. Hold on. The stipulation there is, though, yes, it is worthless, but also something that I really like.
Right. Okay.
And for some reason, like most guys, romance covers, guys, just go on the net. The covers you can't beat.
No, I agree.
The dumb situations that the boy and girl are in, and you know, just the kind of quirkiness and the corniness, and there's some great dramatic
now,
covers.
There's usually some really good ones where it's got like the guy and the girl in the foreground, and then like the spurned lover in the background or something like that. Yeah.
Well, there's one, like one of my favorite ones is just the covers, right? One of my favorite ones is a girl and a guy are on a park bench.
Right.
And there's two girls walking in behind. Now, the guy is like twiddling his thumbs or something. He doesn't notice.
Right.
But the girl's kind of leaning next to him, but she sees the other two girls walking by, and she's going, yeah, they both said no to him, but they're probably making fun of me. Like, this is all I can get, you know? And you know what I mean? And
I'm just,
what I love, though, I'm putting myself into the poor schmuck there. He's clueless, right?
Fair enough.
So there's a lot of life in those.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I enjoy it very much. Thank you, Shane, for asking.
Now, Shane doesn't know this. I don't know if Shane knows this or not, but you actually have a big collection of love art as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you collect a lot of the covers from – now, if I'm mistaken, it's Sutton? Is that the
– Well, no, it's actually my strain of collecting is the Charlton covers.
Okay, right.
From the mid-70s. Okay. Charlton Publishing. They had some great romance comics. You know, I Love You, Just Married, all that kind of stuff. And there were, I believe, only 13 or 14 comic covers in that era by that company ever painted.
Okay.
And there were Don Newton, Tom Sutton, Joe Staton.
Right.
E-Man,
right?
And of the 14, I think I have 9.
Wow, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, so I'm on my way.
Yeah. So if anybody out there has the other three, or sorry, other five.
Yeah, that would be good math.
That's the reason why I'm not a mathematician. If anybody out there has the other five, you're more than welcome to contact us. And maybe
I'm looking for those two teen confession paintings by Don Newton right around 1976. So anybody has them. Drop me a line.
Good to know.
Yeah, I'm going upwards of $30-$40 a piece for them. No problem.
At least.
All right. Thanks, Shane.
All right. Well, let's keep on going here with industry news.
Yeah. Do we have a sponsor?
We do, as a matter of fact. I'll get that one.
All right.
Industry news is brought to you by DC's new logo. It's so cool and innovative that nobody gets it.
Yeah, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw that, actually.
I don't get it.
I get it, but I think it's ridiculous.
But it's peeling back, but...
It's the D is peeling back to see the C, right?
Right. So it's like... Okay,
and it's like a page,
something
right?
New
and it's like
coming.
A page. It's like a comic book
like a
page.
Film.
I know, but I think it's meant to be like a page or something, because, you know, comic books are pages. And so,
right.
And it's also peeling... Like, I think there's many layers,
yes.
quote-unquote.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're supposed to be, like, you know, peeling back to see the new DC.
But
that,
the D is kind of subliminal. Really,
yeah,
when you look at
absolutely.
It, there's no visual D to it.
No, because the D is already being peeled back, so you can't even see the D.
Yeah,
it's just like a half of a D.
So it's it is cool. I kind of
I don't like it myself.
I like, believe it or not, because remember when about what 5 years ago they went to that swirl DC?
Yes,
I like that one.
I like that
one. Swirl
one
is really nice.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
I think it's better than their old traditional one.
Than the circle with the DC.
I agree.
But and I think the swirl one that we're talking about, I think it's better than the new one that they've just
absolutely. I agree with you.
I don't know what they're trying to do with this new one. I think it seems like they're almost trying to be a little bit. I don't know. I want to say almost a little too pretentious. Like, they're trying to bring comics and the art to a different level, but I don't think it needs to go to that level. I think it's making it on its own without having to people be so forthright about it.
Good for you, Chris. Good for you. Say it like you mean it.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Anyways, let's
get into some industry news.
Yes.
So there is news on the on again, off again Powers for TV thing.
Yes. So those of you who are aware of the Powers comic book by Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Avon Oeming, this was FX was the station that was trying to do this this adaptation of Powers comic. And, you know, as Walt said, you know, it's off again, on again, off again, on again. And now once again, it's off again.
It's officially off again.
Officially off again. Apparently the pilot, I guess, wasn't very good.
Uh-huh.
And so the network is undecided as to whether or not they're going to reshoot it. So,
you know, I don't know. I mean, you'd think, though, with the success of anything comic related, they would kind of, you know, have more faith in it, I guess.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not necessarily always the case, though. I mean, look at, like, the Ghost Rider movie, right? Like, it did okay.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they're making a second one basically because of legal ramifications.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So it's hard to say that anything just because it's comic is going to do well.
Right.
All
right. Well, listen, I mean, history on this, anyway, this property here tells us it's going to be on again soon anyway.
I'm sure it will.
On again,
I'm
off
sure
again, on again. Right.
For sure.
All right. Chris, you have some – you dug up some James Bond news.
Yeah. So this is the 50th anniversary of the first James Bond movie that came out. And I guess that would be Dr. No.
Yeah, 1962.
Was the first one in 19.
Trivia for you. Now I'm the old comic guy.
Okay.
Dr. No was the first James Bond property adapted into a comic book.
Right.
Can you tell me which comic book, Dr. No? It's very collectible. Very, very collectible. Very sought after. A nice copy will get you over $1,000.
Right. And now where that story...
Yeah. What's the issue? What's the title? What's the note?
That's a good question. That was... Was it something like Modern Movie Classics or something like that?
That was Trebek. That was a showcase number 43
showcase,
from
right,
DC Comics.
Right. Okay.
Anyway,
it is the 50th anniversary.
Yes.
And you know what? I didn't get the exactly where. You have to Google it. But they're actually going to get together, and they're bringing back a bunch of the different vehicles and things like that from the different Bond movies. They're going to have a big exhibition, vehicle party exhibition, I guess, of every Bond from the series.
Wow, that would be cool.
So imagine going to like a museum and you're seeing all the different Bond cars and all the different like planes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that'd be pretty cool. Now, there's also, even more importantly, Skyfall is going to be the name of the 23rd Bond film coming out. I believe it's this fall.
Yeah.
And at the premiere of Skyfall, every actor who's ever played James Bond and is still alive is going to be at that premiere.
So you've got
Sean Connery, George Lazenby, Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan, and Daniel Craig.
Ah, the only one that matters to me is Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
You hear me, Trebek? Connery's awesome. I mean, Roger Moore. Listen, I always liked the who's your favorite Bond?
Sean Connery.
Me too.
Yeah.
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
And the reason I like Daniel Craig above some of the others is, for me, I like Bond when it's very, very realistic.
Yeah.
And when it's not over the top.
Well, and this is the thing. I actually like Roger Moore, but unfortunately, I like him, but yeah. I think the movies, they became so ridiculous that I don't like him.
Well, right? Even under Connery, like when you look at From Russia with Love and stuff like that, those are pretty kind of good movies. They're realistic,
absolutely,
almost. They're spy movies, right?
Yeah.
And then when they got a little further on and stuff, Thunderball, and then they
got
and
Moonraker.
I'm talking about the Connery ones itself.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, right.
And then of course when Moore hit it was like ridiculous, right? But. Yeah, but Craig's Bond,
I like him.
Is kind of like a realistic Bond, right?
I agree. Yeah,
I mean, when he gets beat up, it hurts.
Yeah,
and you can kind of, I don't know if the word believe the story is right, because obviously you have to suspend belief when you watch James Bond. But they're anchored more to kind of like a possible reality,
right?
I guess.
And I mean, I thought Pierce Brosnan was okay.
Yeah,
but Pierce Brosnan should have been Bond years ago.
Right. Like, I liked Timothy Dalton better than Pierce Brosnan personally.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Because he was more like realistic Bond as well, I thought.
He's probably my least favorite Bond, Timothy
Dalton.
There
you go. Yeah. There you go. No accounting for taste.
Yeah. What do you know anyways?
Yeah.
What do you know about modern architecture?
Yeah. What do you know from Bond, huh? All right. Well, listen, Ian Fleming's James Bond 50th anniversary.
Yes.
Did you know Ian Fleming, the author, was a spy for the British Secret Service?
I did not know that.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and he wrote most of his Bond stuff from his own personal experiences.
Really? That's interesting. Now, have you ever read any of his actual novels?
No.
Oh.
Well.
Well, that's great.
Well, way to kill this topic, Chris. I was going to lie and say yes, but I was afraid you'd ask me a question.
Just calling you out, man. I thought you were this authority on Ian Fleming.
Here I'm spewing Ian Fleming.
Oh, that's great. Yeah,
all right, thanks, Chris. All right, Chris, what other news can we talk about?
All right, well, we have a bit of trailer trash. We should have done this early, actually.
Right,
we forgot to do this earlier. A bit of trailer trash. We have a new poster. Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding.
New poster for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
So
this is terrible. No, seriously. It is bad.
Yeah, so Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter is a new movie by, now I'm going to get this name wrong, Timur Bekmambetov.
Timur.
But here's the thing. So, and it's not in the write-up, but he's actually Tim Burton is actually helping to produce this movie.
Right.
So he has a hand in this movie of this I don't know what kind of creation.
I think Tim Burton is Timur Bekmambetov. TB, come on.
Maybe, yeah, that's right.
Pretty easy to see through you, pal. So Abraham Lincoln, he's like a vampire hunter, apparently.
Yeah, so not only did he, release the slaves sort of thing, but he also, saved the world from vampires. That's right.
Yeah. Now, this, of course, is from the book, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, which is of the same vein as those other cool books that started probably with Pride, Prejudice.
And Zombies.
And Zombies. Yeah, and Jane Austen.
Right, and then they came out with...
ask me if I read Jane Austen.
Do you ever read any Jane Austen?
Yes, I have.
That's great. Yeah. I don't really care.
Okay. Sorry.
Have you ever read Sense and Sensibility and Sea Serpents?
I have not. I've read Sense and Sensibility.
Oh, sorry, Sea Monsters. Sorry. Yeah. No, but you haven't read the other one. That's great.
Have you ever been to sea, Billy?
Anyways, so the big news is that there's a new poster out for this movie.
Yes.
For this movie that will get dozens, I'm sure, of audience members.
Dozens. You know, though, Chris, vampires, or as my cousin would say, wampires.
Yes.
My cousin Zelko calls them wampires. And they're good business, though.
I hear the business is really biting.
Yeah.
Hi-yo.
Stop. What's the one that got $800 million on the first opening weekend that opened?
Twilight,
yeah. Okay. It that's about vampires. And that is... And that is big business.
Yes,
so
it is.
I wouldn't listen. You have Abraham Lincoln, one of the founding fathers of the United States. Actually, he's not.
Not even close.
Not
but
even
anyways.
Close. But a big wig.
Yeah.
Like they minted a penny on.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
So
and well, hey, I wonder if John Wilkes Booth is going to be one of the vampires.
Yeah, well, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool. And I'm sure that, you know, people that we don't even know will be vampires.
Well, also be vampires.
But you know how
people we have no idea will eventually be a vampire.
You know how Marvel rewrites history, and you know, like the Wolverine of this,
right,
yeah, you know, 1602.
Yeah.
What if there are characters that we know today that were vampires and that are vampires, but they were still around in 1861?
Oh, it's very possible. Yeah,
there you go.
Very possible. Yeah. What if there's people we know that were around in 1861?
All right, Chris. Now it's getting out of hand.
I'm just
Come
saying.
On.
You know? All right. Hold on. Now to end. Now this to end
Please
off.
Please end it. Please.
No. To end off a little bit of TV and movie stuff here.
Oh, we got something else.
We have another bit of information here. Now, do you know who Chanel Preston is, or Chanel Preston? I don't know if I'm saying her name right.
Chanel Preston. Chanel would be, of course. I don't know.
Well, Chanel, whatever her name is. You know, it's probably a good thing you don't know who this is. Or maybe it's not. I don't know. But anyways, she is a an adult film starlet.
Hello.
And she has recently portrayed, was recently portrayed in Wonder Woman XXX, Triple X. So, of course, they're doing, I don't know if you're aware of this, but they're doing adult versions of a lot of your famous comic book characters out
you
there.
You know what? A great website, Bleeding Cool, was covering that last year. I was kind of checking that out and stuff like that. So it was good, yeah.
Right.
I was aware of it, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, so.
Only through Bleeding Cool. Let it become clear.
So she, Chanel, she has a new interactive video game coming out as well.
Chanel.
So, so you can actually command her to do certain things.
Chris, I don't know where you're going with this, you're scaring me.
I'm just saying that that's, so it looks like people who are portraying comic book characters in the buff, as it were, are making a lot of money in video games as well.
Chris, okay, so it says here... I'm reading the thing, and it says she's also portrayed the Black Widow, Zatanna, and Lara Croft.
Right.
Right? From the what's the one? No, that's a different one. Sorry. So while we're on the subject, I'm going to ask you a question.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Yeah.
You know, which comic character would you like to see star in a porno movie?
Oh, you kind of put me on the spot here,
yeah.
Walt.
Don't say Ant-Man.
The Wasp.
The Wasp. Oh, hello.
Good answer, Chris. Yeah. How about you?
I'm gonna.
She-Hulk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know what? I would have to say it would have to be Wonder Woman. Oh, wait. She's already covered.
Oh, look at that. Well, you know, I do. I mean, you know. There's not a lot of people out there who know me that don't know that I am a Power Girl fan.
Right.
So I
was hoping that you would.
Well, you know,
I
didn't really want to get into that.
You turned
the tables
on me.
I know.
Right. All right.
Speaking of turning the tables, here's a little music for you from yesteryear, as my dad would say. This is the Wonderful Boy Wonder.
Wonderful.
Here it comes. Hold on a second.
Wonderful.
Wherever Batman goes, he is always there, and all their evil foes are very much aware that though he's just a boy, no grown-up can compare with Robin, the Wonderful Boy Wonder. If Batman's in a fix and it looks like it's the end, he really doesn't worry, he knows he can depend on that fearless teenage hero who is his closest friend. Robin, the Wonderful Boy Wonder. He fights for law and order whenever there's disorder, and asks for no reward or prize for doing what he order. And though he's just a lad, I'm sure that you'll agree, there's never been a lad as wonderful as he. And if one wish I had, I wish that I could be Robin, the Wonderful Boy Wonder. Wherever Batman goes, he is always there, and all their evil foes are very much aware.
Yes, very nicely done. That, of course, was from the YMCA Orchestra. And That was Robin the Wonderful Boy Wonder.
Yes.
Chris, so we're going to keep going here. Want me to read the last industry news?
Sure, you go right ahead.
Industry news, or this section of industry news, is brought to you by your local comic book shop. As friendly as your local barber, but with less...
That's it, eh?
As friendly as your local barber shop, but with better stuff to read. Darn, I couldn't get it out. Remember, because at your barbershop, you'd always have those old magazines, old comics and stuff. But it'd be a very friendly place to go.
Sure.
You know, old Joe there cutting the hair and stuff, talking politics.
Yeah, that's great.
Anyway, all right. Chris, let's continue with industry news. Let's talk about the Golden Globe
Awards. So they were on this last Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it turns out a couple of comic book typey, science fiction-y kind of things did okay.
Yeah, comic book, graphic novel-influenced movies. Hugo, which was directed by Martin Scorsese, who won the Best Director.
Yep.
And Tintin, The Adventures of Tintin. Of course, that is, what's the kid's name that directed that?
Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg,
yeah. And it won the Golden Globe Award for the Best Animated Feature.
I hear it's very good.
Yeah, I heard it too.
You haven't seen it yet? You're a Tintin fan. I'm surprised.
I know. No, I'm gonna see it when it comes on TV.
Oh, on TV.
Right. Yeah. That's a good part about, you know, these days, it's a good part of having like a 60-inch TV at home.
Absolutely.
Is you can wait for the flipping.
For sure,
yeah. When you had your old 19-inch black and white, you'd have to go to the movies.
It's different, yeah, for sure.
But now it's like you get surround sound at home. Yep. You can make those calls, right?
Absolutely.
But, you know, like the news bit went on to say stuff like, you know, Golden Globe, if you win a Golden Globe, it can impact your box office and your DVD sales and stuff like that. Got me to thinking,
right?
You know, like when comics win awards, does that help them? I would imagine it would. Like if you won an Eisner.
If people actually knew what the awards were.
Well, the Eisner Awards, the Harvey Awards, the Joe Shuster Awards.
For sure. I think if people paid enough attention to any of those awards, certainly if they heard it was like the best of whatever series, they would obviously go out and buy them, right? I would think anyways.
But you're right. You have a point that you know, people know the Oscars and the Golden Globes,
right, that's
and
all
the Emmys
yeah.
and the Grammys and the Junos, but they don't know the Eisners and
they're
the
all live telecast, you know. It's a big to-do in Hollywood usually or wherever it happens to be, somewhere in L.A.
Well,
why wouldn't
they get the – like now, they can get the Eisners on – like, you know, they have MTV Music Awards. They can have the Eisners as a – 2-hour MTV type broadcast from Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You have so many Hollywood types, you know, your DiCaprios and your Cages and stuff. Christ, Nicolas Cage would go up there and present. Yeah, he'd host the damn thing.
I agree. You know, I think something like the Eisners, it would definitely have a chance.
Yeah,
you got
Hugo Jackman there. He'd go on.
Hugo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd go on. You mean, you can do this.
For sure.
You can have.
I agree.
And now I know from the retailer standpoint, I know that awards help sell the book. So if the retailers are doing their job, they're going, hey, Joe, you know, you should be reading this. It won an Eisner.
Right.
And they got to go, huh?
Right.
What?
Right.
It's an Eisner. It means it's the, you know, like an industry award. Or we sold a lot of Warwick Ellesmere's from Faith Erin Hicks.
Yep.
And even though that book didn't win, her Zombies Calling before that won.
But she was nominated
Joe
for
Shuster.
That,
but we were selling the fact that, hey, you know, she's a Joe Shuster Award winner. This is a great book and stuff. What's Joe Shuster Awards? Oh, it's the Canadian Awards for the best comic writers and stuff. And we sold a ton of them like that.
No, that's awesome. That's great.
I think it takes a bit of work, but I still like to see a nationally televised
I would too. I think it'd be
comic,
great. I think it would be great. I think we're getting very close to that point.
Yeah. Frank Miller.
You know, if they can have...
He'd go on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if they can have...
He wouldn't win anything.
No. I hope not.
A lifetime achievement,
something
maybe.
Something like that, But, I mean, you know, I was going to say, if they can have things like Magic the Gathering being televised by TSN, there's no reason why they can't have the Eisners being televised on, you know, some sort of art and entertainment channel or something.
I think they can go like a bigger thing like MTV or something
like that. Yeah, I agree.
All right. All right, so the hammer has fallen.
Yes,
the
this is it.
The shoe has come off. What's
it
saying?
I don't know what you're getting at here.
All right.
But the
shoe has dropped.
The shoe has dropped. The foot is down.
The foot is down.
That's right. Six comics in May will be replacing six comics that are ending in April. For DC Comics.
DC Comics, right?
Sorry.
Jeez, Chris.
Just in general.
All right. You know, listenership. Apparently, six comics may be ending sometime soon. We're not sure when.
But eventually they will.
But eventually they will.
But the good news is there'll be six more replacing them.
I'm sure there'll be six more coming along at some point. All right, let's move on to the next story.
Whatever, Mr. Barber is friendlier than your comic store.
Listen, so Blackhawks, Hawk and Dove, which was by Brian Michael Lifefield there.
Brian Michael Lifefield, yeah, that's his name.
Men
yeah.
of War, yeah. Mr. Terrific,
yep.
OMAC, and Static Shock have bit the dust.
They're all being canceled, yes. But
what's
the good news
in?
Is new ones are coming in are Batman Incorporated by Grant Morrison and Chris Burnham.
Grant Morrison and Batman, two magic words.
Yeah,
so absolutely. So hold on. Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
No,
keep going.
I was
going to
say
no,
the other
I
one.
Insist.
Oh, boy. No, please, after you.
Indubitably. Oh, please. Earth 2.
Earth 2 by James Robinson and Nicholas Scott.
Yeah.
And now, this is going to be the, I think it's going to be like the new flagship for the Justice Society.
Right.
Which I'm excited about because Power Girl was, of course, my favorite.
And we knew it was a matter of time. You and I discussed this when the launch happened. Yeah. She wasn't in it.
That's right. World's Finest by Paul Levitz with George Perez and Kevin Maguire. Now, look, there you go. In the write-up, it says, which Huntress and Power Girl struggled to find their way back to Earth 2.
Right.
So she's coming around.
Right.
Dial H. Now, this must be a new take on the old property. Remember Dial H for Hero?
Yes.
Where
guy,
the kid would have the phone type thing,
right.
And he'd dial a number, mm-hmm. and he would become a different character every week.
Right.
I don't really know how this is going to play out, but this is going to be a new take on the property by fantasy novelist China Myville, I don't know if I'm saying that right, and Mateus Steneluoco. I don't know if I'm saying that. I don't know if I'm saying either of those names right.
And
if I'm incorrectly saying it, I apologize.
But they are very talented creators,
yes.
I'm sure.
Then we've got G.I. Combat is coming in.
Hold on. Back that up.
Yeah. Beep, beep, beep.
Men of War
beep.
Is going out, but G.I. Combat is coming
That's right. Yeah.
So.
Well, but G.I. Combat's going to have. It's going to be a little different. It's going to have backup stories that have, like, the Unknown Soldier and the Haunted Tank.
Yeah.
And different. I think it's going to be more of, like, a, you know, not just about.
Oh, the War of the Time Forgot. I'm reading this now. Remember the old ones where they have, like, the army fighting dinosaurs?
Yeah, right. All that kind of stuff. I think that's probably what this is going to be involved
right.
here.
And then what's last?
And then The Ravagers by Howard Mackey and Ian Churchill, which is a spinoff from Teen Titans and Superboy.
Right on. So hold on. So my question to you is this, World's Finest, is that still going to be a Batman and Superman property?
It doesn't look like it. It looks like it's going to be more of a Power Girl and Huntress property, which kind of is like Batman and Superman, right?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
It's like the female versions of them, kind of. So I don't think it's going to be Batman and Superman anymore. It's going to be Huntress and Power Girl. From what I know,
right.
I could be wrong on that. And of course.
So, but I guess is like the 52 that are the ones that are leaving.
Yeah.
You know, nothing Batman Superman related. The ones that are coming in,
Batman Superman.
Like Batman. So, you know, will we eventually have.
It'll be the all Batman Superman.
23 Batman
tie-ins
and 18 Superman tie-ins and that kind of stuff, right?
Probably.
All right. Well, I mean, DC's obviously. Batman Incorporated with Grant Morrison is going to be the big winner here.
That's going to be a huge hit, for sure. For sure. I mean, Grant Morrison has already proven his chops on rest of them.
He's proven his chops. Yes, has he?
I'm just saying.
I believe the word is cut his chop.
Oh, sorry. Is
no,
that what it is?
That's not
no?
I have no idea.
Proven is, I don't know. Anyways.
Okay. Yes. We are the home of the, what do you call what we're saying? Metaphors. I was going to say segues, but that would have been totally wrong. Okay.
Oh boy, we are going to hear it from our producer.
Yes, Mr. Falcone.
Yes, for sure.
All right, Anthony. We have next week. We promise we'll have a thesaurus right here on the table with us. All right, Chris.
Maybe.
Let's keep going.
Maybe.
Let's keep going here. Let's talk about. Hey, I got good news and bad news.
Okay.
We'll start with the bad news.
Okay.
The Dragon Lady Comic Shop in Toronto is closing.
This is sad news. Very sad news.
It is a venerable landmark in the city. Decrepit and old as it is,
I know, and
it was still a landmark for guys.
I remember selling comic guys,
girls and guys.
When I was about 12 or 13 years old, I remember selling a full box of Incredible Hulk comics and a full box of Iron Man comics to them when they were still around on Queen Street.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was really cool back then because they were on Queen Street, and so was, of course, so is the Snail. Silver Snail. And so it was kind of like that was just great. You could go to Queen Street and hit up a couple different comic book stores, and you're all set.
Yep.
Sadly, Dragon Lady moved closer to Bathurst, was it? No.
Yeah, right. They're a college near Bathurst.
And, you know, I'm sure they did okay for a while, but, you know, I don't know if the current ownership really maintained, you know.
Well, I think John, I apologize. But wasn't John old, he's the
owner. But I don't know how.
Young John was running it for him. Hi, John.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. Like, there's a nice story on, or a little write up on it on Comic Book Daily by Scott Vanderploeg, the EIC of Comic Book Daily, and he writes and he makes a great point. He goes, you know, there's the press in Toronto waxing nostalgic about this thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the venerable Dragon Lady, you know, the old iconic Dragon Lady.
Yeah.
But everybody talks like that now because it's closing, but. Nobody went. In
I know
the last
that's
10 years,
and that's the problem. You know,
you went there and you drove by. Dragon Lady.
The old Dragon Lady. They'll be around for forever. Yeah, it's dusty in there.
Right. Yeah. And now it's like, oh my, the Dragon Lady.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like so. What I mean, the Dragon Lady, from what I see, the problem with most comic shops, the old model anyway, there are. It's like a natural death in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're the proprietor driven.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what I was trying to say earlier is that I think. Whoever the owner is now, I'm not too sure if it's old John or young John, but you know, I think sometimes you just sort of you run out of steam, right?
Well, yeah, you run out of time too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that store's been around since the 70s,
yeah, absolutely,
sure.
Yes.
And you're looking at 30 plus years now. You know, the man may be ready to retire.
But it's interesting what Scott Vanderploeg said on the site about you know how now everybody's you know waxing prophetic about the fact that it's closing,
right?
Because you know when I used to work at the Silver Snail in Hamilton. This was a store that, again, it was around for a long time. And when it closed, it was you know people would come and say, "Oh man, I can't believe you're closing! I loved that store." And it was like, "Well, you know,
I haven't seen you in 3 years.
Yeah, why didn't you come in and buy something? You know, and then maybe we wouldn't be closing." But you know, they become staples of that community, and you just sort of figure that they're always going to be around, even though you're not supporting them.
Even
and I think
you're not supporting them,
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And unfortunately, economics get involved, and well, if not supporting them, they're gone.
Sure, and I think a store like the Dragon Lady catered to such a kind of niche collectible, you know, paper collectibles core.
Yeah, yeah.
He really never changed with the times enough, I guess, to say to move away to the newer type of customer coming in.
Yeah.
And that old type of customer got smaller and smaller.
Yeah,
and smaller.
For sure.
But the gentleman got a little bit older, and you put all those things together and say, hey, time to throw in the towel.
That's right. That's right. And unfortunately. It's sad to hear that that they're going, but we wish them well in their future endeavors, for sure.
Yes, we do. And we put a call out to all the shops in the Toronto area to, hey, you know what? Invest in the Dragon Lady.
Yep.
Give John some money for the name and the company there.
That'd be nice.
And resurrect the Dragon Lady.
That'd be great. I would love that.
Now, too bad John couldn't hang on for another year.
Yes.
Because the next story is going to talk about a gentleman named Chris Powell.
Yeah, this is a great story. So Chris Powell, now you were telling me a little bit more about this guy before the show. Pardon me.
Yeah, he did a whole bunch of work. He was the chief relation – like he was like one of the head drivers of all the retail initiatives that Lone Star Comics in Texas did.
Right.
Now, Lone Star Comics is the largest comic retailer, definitely in Texas, one of the largest in America, has 7 or 8 really nice stores.
Right.
Their online shop, mycomicshop.com, one of the largest mail order comic shops, an up and coming riser in the auction house scene. They are now, I won't say they're rivaling, but they're now competing with the likes of Comic Link and Comic Connect.
Okay, right, and things, and Heritage
and
as well.
And Pedigree Comics and Heritage. Yeah, they're in the same market, right? So this Chris Powell, He was responsible for a lot of that, a lot of that success. He also was president of the Legal Book Defense Fund.
Comic Book Legal Defense Fund.
And he is a board member, one of the founding board members of the Comics Pro, the comics retail organization.
So he's been around. He knows his stuff.
The guy not only knows his stuff, the guy went out and did it.
Yeah.
The guy went out and hustled, and he made things happen.
And so now he has a new appointment with Diamond.
Diamond hired him
as sort of like a brick-and-mortar representative.
Yeah,
thing,
Diamond's
right?
They're calling it the Executive Director of Business Development for the comic book specialty market.
That's great. That's awesome. The fact that Diamond, you know what? I like this because not that I don't like Diamond, but I think Diamond sometimes forgets where they've come from and forgets the fact that, you know, they still need to cater to small businesses, even though they're such a huge conglomeration,
right.
Really. And I like this because they're finally taking a good step in the right direction. You know, they're really realizing that, you know, that these stores are their bread and butter. And I think for a long time they've forgotten that idea.
You know what? I'll call it like I see it. And this is all going back to DC's New 52, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
DC's New 52 in the fall of 2011 influxed, or what do you call it? Injected so much energy into the comic book publishing field.
Yep.
DC's sales went up through the roof. Marvel's sales went up. Everybody's sales went up because of this. Brick and mortar shops did a lot better than they were. Like, there was a slow decline in monthlies.
Right.
Distributor like Diamond, that was a boon for them.
Yeah.
Because their accounts were paying them more money every week.
Sure.
They're ordering
absolutely,
more stuff.
Yeah.
So now Diamond is going, hey, you know, this is still a good gig.
People are willing to spend money on this stuff. Yeah.
Let's get a guy in here and let's get a guy to, carry this thing forward even more. Let's get a guy to quarterback all the brick and mortar shops, keep them, you know, going forward. I think one of the initiatives was let's create more brick and mortar shops.
Right.
Now, I've talked on this show 100 times over the last couple of years about one of the facts that the comic sales is going down is that specialty shops is one of the only places you can get them, and the number of specialty shops is decreasing.
That's right. Yeah.
So get more specialty shops out
there. And there's not enough support for them, right?
Right.
Yeah. So
right.
It's great that's finally happening.
Yeah. So it's all good. I like the fact that Mr. Powell has been appointed. I wish him all the best. We're going to support him as much as we can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Are we going to keep on going, or are we going to have a musical interlude?
Let's have a quick one, Chris.
All right. Let's have a quick musical interlude here. This one is from the old Wonder Woman TV shows from the 1970s. Here you go.
The only hope for freedom and democracy is...
Wonder Woman! Wonder Woman!
All the world's waiting for you.
Yeah, stop that war with love.
Stop
Chris.
A war with love.
Yeah. You know, listen, I used to love that show. I still have a crush on Linda Carter.
Who doesn't?
But I never, ever caught that line until today. Like, I've heard that song 100 times.
Right, right. Really? You never heard that before?
No. The one, In Your Satin Tights.
Fighting for your rights. Yeah.
Shame on him. Shame on him. That is such a sexist thing to say on that thing. She could find him in her jumpsuit, too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right. And her miniskirt.
And you know what?
And heels.
She could fight in whatever she wants.
Right.
It's Linda Carter, after all.
After all.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, let's keep on going here.
Yeah, come on. Bring me back.
Brack, back into the comic culture here. Okay.
No, stay on target.
So now, we've got a couple last little bits of information here. One of the things we really should talk about is... You know, now are you? I know you're familiar with the daily comic strips and the Sunday comic strips. I know you've often said how much you love Marmaduke.
Oh, Marmaduke is awesome. but my favorite is Calvin and Hobbes, always will be.
Right. So, sure enough, Calvin and Hobbes, by the great Bill Watterson, for the first time in a long time, they're actually having a one of his pieces of artwork going up for sale at auction, Heritage Auctions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a big deal because he never, ever releases any of his artwork. He's never. I mean, if you think about it, really, the only stuff that's available for Calvin and Hobbes are the treasuries, are the books.
Which I have, and they're just priceless. They're amazing.
There have never been any dolls, you know, Calvin and Hobbes, Calvinopoly,
right.
You know, there's nothing like that, right? There's never been any kind of Calvin and Hobbes merchandise out there, let alone prints
Calvin
or anything like
thermometer.
That.
Calvin thermometer.
Exactly. Yes. Anyways, so here we go. We have an actual piece of artwork becoming available on Heritage, the Heritage website, and it's a sort of a famous one. We've got Calvin and Hobbes leaning against the tree. I think it was used for a calendar.
Yeah, they're just daydreaming under a tree. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's a watercolor type of thing, and it's just exquisite.
Yeah,
right? And they're making a call on this, aren't they, Chris?
Well, yeah, they're saying that it's going to be at least five figures, which that's no brainer.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Tens of thousands at least.
Right.
I'm guessing it's going to go to the six. I'm guessing it's going to go to six figures because of the rarity of his artwork on this stuff.
Right.
I mean,
and this is an iconic piece. This like it was the cover for one of his what do you call those things? Albums, collections.
Yep,
And it's one of my favorite pieces, and it captures Calvin and Hobbes, the essence of them.
Yeah,
like they're both daydreaming. It's a beautiful summer day, and it's it's really, really nice. Already on Heritage, there's over 6,000 page views.
Yes.
For this thing, there's a lot of people.
This is gonna,
interested.
It's
going to
go
piece.
For big money, and you know what? And so it should really. The guy's an artist. Not just an artist. The guy is a genius. Really, is what he is.
The man is a genius.
You know, and the only thing that I'm a little concerned about, so you know, and this kind of irritates me sometimes, is that
what irritates.
Well, you know, so the piece actually says for Rick Marshall, comic connoisseur from Bill Watterson, and you know what? This means that this was given to a particular person. He was signed it on the front of it, not on the back. On the front, as if this guy was going to hold it forever.
Yeah.
And now, whether it's him or whoever it is, somebody has now gotten this piece of artwork and is selling it. And it's almost seems like it's a shame because it seemed like it was meant to be kept in the family, and it's not. You know,
I know, but you know what? I mean, hey, times are tough.
Yeah, right? For sure.
If somebody comes to you, you have that?
Yeah.
Did you know I can get you $80,000 for that?
Fair enough.
Excuse
Fair
me.
Enough.
You
yeah,
know, that
you're right.
Kind of thing.
You're right.
It's like sometimes those numbers are hard to.
I understand. Right? I understand.
So,
for sure.
I mean, I'm sure he's going to put it in a photocopier, a color photocopier.
Yes.
And be happy with the photocopier.
Well,
well,
and somebody else will be happy with the original for
$100,000. And he'll be happy with $100,000 in his bank.
I think it's going. I'm going to call it out here. I'm going to say it's going to go for over $100,000.
Right on. So. All right, Chris. We have one last thing, and then we'll do an important story. For the very end, and that is the fact that Conan and Gru,
very important,
Gru the Wanderer. Of course, Sergio Aragonés is Gru the Wanderer,
yes.
Which was a parody, really, kind of Conan,
of Gru, of Conan, yeah,
of Conan, yeah, and Conan and Gru finally meet in a 4-issue miniseries by Dark Horse.
Yeah, so
which I think is cool.
This is great.
I think it's great.
Yeah, this is great. So it's going to be art by Sergio Aragonés and Thomas Yates, with written by Mark Vanier. Now, Mark Vanier,
will Art Baldassare be involved?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. But Mark Vanier has often teamed up with Sergio Aragonés, so I'm not surprised that these guys are teaming up again. And this is great because really, it's like. You know, it's like the cartoon version of Conan is meeting itself, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like it's,
yeah, like the parody is meeting the real thing.
Yeah, so it's sort of weird. Yeah, I agree.
So it's like Spidey would be, you know, tackling Peter Porker.
Exactly.
Spatula Spider Ham.
Yeah, so
right.
it's interesting.
Yeah, it would be like, I can't think of anybody else. I can't think of any other good parodies.
No,
really.
That's really, there's only, I don't know. You know what? If anybody does think of a good parody, they should email us at comicbookdaily.com.
Yeah, just add comments on the bottom. I'm trying to think of a good parody. Peter Porker was obviously a parody of Peter Parker.
Right.
And Gru is a parody of Conan. And, you know, I mean, you know, Marvel had that Not Brand X stuff, like Superman.
Well, yeah,
and,
I mean,
stuff,
remember they came out with Not Brand X, and then they came out with Marvel Tales, T-A-I-L-S, where
right,
it was all,
right.
like, the animal versions of all the Marvel characters. So you had, like, the Silver Squirrel instead of Silver Surfer and all that kind of stuff. But anyways.
Best forgotten.
Unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today.
All right. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone, engineered by Andrew Roebuck. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link and enter your comments in the comments field below. We're also heard on getthepointradio.com.
And remember, don't stick your tongue on a frozen pole, although Swedes are permissible.
Wow. And please support your local comic book shop.
Have yourself a great day.